When I was in seminary, I had a preaching professor who used to say that the main point of every Sunday's sermon ought to be this: Jesus got up. Jesus rose again. And there's a lot of truth to that. Every Sunday, if nothing else, we ought to leave church knowing that Jesus rose from the grave, that resurrection is possible. Because from that, we will know that there is hope for all of us, that there is hope and grace for a hurting world that needs to know that love has power over fear and death. Friends, will you pray with me? Holy, holy God, we come before you hungry for your presence, longing for your wisdom, thirsting for your truth. God, on this Easter morning, we ask that you come real close so that we may feel the power of Christ's own presence in our bodies, in our bones, in this sanctuary. Let us feel that power, O God. Let us feel that power that wells up inside of us, that gives us the courage to resist evil and destruction, that gives us the courage to radically love and serve, that power that can only come from you. God, come close to each person here this morning. Speak to them so that they may know that they are your beloved ones, called to liberation, called to love, called to resurrection. In Jesus' holy name we pray, amen. Amen. Friends, this Easter morning, we are talking about resurrection. We are singing about it. We are praying about it. We're reading about it. And I'm going to preach about it. Because Christ is risen, and you say, alleluia. There we go. And you all know what resurrection looks like, right? Resurrection is essentially this very, very, very unlikely comeback. I'm talking about the Boston Red Sox in 2004. Resurrection. I'm talking about these ancient critters called tardigrades, which you can learn about over at the Science Museum. That is resurrection. I'm talking about seriously unlikely comebacks, like the color avocado and shag carpeting and mom jeans and caboodle makeup cases, fanny packs, Birkenstocks, vinyl records, beards, Betty White, and mason jars. All of those and more making comebacks, experiencing resurrection today. And there are other things of a bit more seriousness from past times that are making a comeback today, like the practice of silence, caring for oneself, Sabbath, growing food, unplugging from technology. All of those practices are good and holy. They are rooted in these practices of faith, and they're being reclaimed as critical today. Those are resurrection stories. Resurrection is about this kind of comeback and reclaiming of what is most important in life. It's a reclaiming of hope, a reclaiming of joy, of beauty, grace, wonder, purpose, courage. Resurrection is a reclaiming of life itself. And friends, the greatest comeback story, the greatest reclaiming, is the one that we read about this morning. The greatest resurrection story of all time is Jesus Christ, rising from the dead after being tortured and executed, after being kept in a tomb for days, rising to new life. And that is the resurrection that we are here to honor today on this Easter Sunday in worship. The one that proved once and for all that death and destruction do not have the last word. Love does. Love does. Liberation does. Love does. Liberation does. Life does. Because God does have the last word. Easter is a reminder of the very cornerstone of our Christian faith, Christ's resurrection. And in that resurrection, we are told this. Fear, it's overturned by love. Destruction, it's overturned by creation. Sin is overturned by grace. Oppression is overturned by liberation. The powers and principalities of this world are overturned by the one true power, God. Death is overturned by life. This day centers us on Christ Jesus and reminds us that at the very heart of our religious tradition is a story of resurrection, even from the most hopeless of circumstances, even from the grave. And I know that each of you in this room have been there. You have been in your own hopeless tomb at least once in your life. And this morning, Jesus is showing us that he is right there with us in the desperation and despair. And he's ready to give us a hand and help us to climb out of it. So this morning, let's talk theologically about this notion of resurrection. The concept of resurrection, especially bodily resurrection, the idea that the bones and tissue got up from the grave, the idea that we're talking about in this morning's scripture, that is often very challenging for many Christians, especially progressive Christians, including myself. So prepare to be just a little bit uncomfortable. Bear with me as we wrestle with this part of Jesus' resurrection. For many of us, it's the life of Jesus that we focus our religious faith on. We focus on his teachings, his parables, the life lessons that he imparted to us through our scripture stories. But in Holy Week and on Easter, we think about something else. It compels us to think about these final days of Christ walking on the earth. This week and this day in particular force us to think about the mystery and the miracle that is bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ from the tomb. Now, let me tell you about the first time that I started thinking about this rather uncomfortable notion of bodily resurrection. I grew up in a United Church of Christ church in Northeast San Diego County, and I remember being in the 10th grade when a question was posed by my youth minister to all the high schoolers scattered around the room. We were all seated, sinking into these simultaneously overstuffed and understuffed hand-me-down couches in the youth room. And the youth director asked us this question. Would you believe in Jesus? Would you still be a Christian if Jesus' bones could be dug up and found today? And that is a jarring question, isn't it? In essence, he was asking if we would still have our faith, if we would still hold fast to the values of radical love and justice, if we would still get up and come to church on Sunday mornings, if we would still bother to come to youth group and to sit in these couches, if it could be proven that there was no bodily resurrection of Christ. And for some of you who are from some different church traditional backgrounds, you may have heard the sermon preached before that says essentially this: if there are bones to be found, there is no Christianity to be lived and no Christ to believe in. And I have heard sermons that say that if Jesus did not have this bodily resurrection, there is absolutely no point to us coming to church on Sunday morning. And friends, this morning I'm going to give you an alternative point of view on this issue of bodily resurrection in the Christian faith. And here is my pastoral disclaimer. Let me start by saying that there is no one right way to think about Jesus' resurrection and whether or not his physical body rose. Just about anywhere that you fall on the spectrum of belief about this topic is fine and is valid, and whatever you believe at this very moment may be what's serving you best in your life, and there's no pressure to change that belief at any time. But let me share with you this. When I was younger, I didn't need there to be a bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. I was just fine in my faith, believing in resurrection as a grand metaphor. And that worked really well for me. That was all I needed to be filled with faith and to be ready to serve others. Even when I heard my call to ministry, I didn't fully yet believe in this bodily resurrection. But then I encountered greater and greater struggles in my life. Chronic pain and back surgery, depression, grief, loss. And as I went through life, I found that more and more I needed a Jesus in my life who was bigger than a teacher and a metaphor. I needed a God that would be so powerful as to intervene in the world as to raise up Christ's body. I needed a Christian faith that tapped into mystery and miracles. I needed a faith that was so mystical in nature that it could sit alongside my science-loving, fact-oriented brain and coexist. I needed a faith that would make a home in my soul, in my heart, in my gut, where the fear of the world resides. I needed a faith that transcended what I could think, reason, rationalize, what I could control. I needed a faith that I could not put in a clean little book called a Bible and place upon my shelf. I needed a faith that I could not compartmentalize. I needed a Holy Spirit that would not stay in a box, a God that was so powerful, so loving, a Jesus so disruptive as to get up out of the tomb, bones and all. I found that that's what I needed. And over time, as one year's Holy Week and Easter led into the next, I found myself discovering a belief in the bodily resurrection of Christ. And that's what this is about. It's about belief. I believe that whether or not bones could be found, the power of the resurrection is in large part in the act of believing. Not from some place of fear that if I don't believe, I can't be saved, but from a place of bold surrender to the majesty of the universe, to the wonder of creation and creator. The power is in believing. That love is so transformative that even death does not stand a chance in the end. It's the kind of believing that bears the fruit of salient hope that allows people to rise up, to love, to serve. So as a Christian and as a pastor, I don't care if the bones are there or will be discovered in the future. I believe in the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ because I need that kind of resurrection and because I know that so many other people do too. Here's why I believe in Jesus' body resurrected. Because life is better lived believing that God loves us so much that God would do something as grand as raising Jesus' whole self for the sake of love. For the sake of showing us that life is so glorious, so full of mystery beyond our wildest imaginations. I believe in Jesus' body resurrected because life is better lived with a hope that transcends the dismal facts around us. A hope that transcends even death. This is a hope that is not delusional or dismissive. It's not a hope that gets us off the hook for doing our part to better the world. It's a hope that brings us out of paralyzing fear. It's a hope that leads us into the radical ways of Jesus' love for all. It's a hope that allows whole communities to rally for their rights, to resist structures of sin and power, a hope that dispels our fears and makes us courageous. A hope that is found in the mystery of Jesus' whole self rising out of the tomb is the kind of wild, reckless, empowering hope that we need in order to courageously turn this hurting world into the peaceable kingdom of God. Amen.